Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happy Monday morning. We have a situation, as they say, and it's a serious situation, and I want to start to address it. This COVID Delta variant has brought much confusion to not just the people of the state, but people all across the nation. CDC came out with new guidance, which was dramatically different than the guidance they had said. Local governments are now trying to figure out how to deal with the local guidance. Obviously, in this time of toxic politics, you then overlay politics on top of it. Far left, far right, adds to the confusion. And just the sudden reversal by the CDC is so abrupt as to cause cynicism and confusion, to be frank. That's where we are. What works with New Yorkers and what has always worked with New Yorkers is give us the facts. Just give me the facts. I understand you have an opinion. That's nice, and I'd like to hear it. Even if I don't want to hear it, they'll say, I would like to hear your opinion. But give me the facts first, please, okay? Here are the facts, and then I'll give you my opinion. The Delta variant does spread very quickly. New York over the past month, number of hospitalizations basically doubled. Number of cases over the past month, basically a fourfold increase, okay? So yes, Delta variant spreads very quickly. If you are vaccinated, you're less likely to catch it, and you're very unlikely to be hospitalized. When you look at the infection rate among those who are fully vaccinated, 4 out of 100,000, unvaccinated, 17 over 100,000, fourfold increase. Hospitalization, if you're vaccinated, 0.19 per 100,000. Unvaccinated, 1.25 per 100,000. So that's a fact. If you are unvaccinated, Delta variant should be a major concern to you, and you should be worried about it. Well, New York, we did a great job on the vaccine. 75% of the people have one shot. Yes, but that means 24% don't. 24% is a big number. It's 3.5 million. Next fact, vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant. This is the fact that caused the CDC to change their position quickly. This is what they called a pivotal discovery, largely based on the situation in Massachusetts on Cape Cod. They have other examples of it across the nation, but they basically focused on the situation on Cape Cod, where they found that vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant. The problem with that is you then have 100% of the people spreading the Delta variant. That's why they consider that a pivotal piece of information. At the same time, people who were vaccinated, much, much lower, hospitalization rate much, much lower. That was true in Cape Cod also. Fact, almost all new cases are the Delta variant. That's also not a good fact. Well, how bad can this get? What are we worried about? How anxious should I be? Because now I'm in a state of anxiety because of all these changes and sudden reversals, and CDC says this, CDC says that. Local politicians don't know what to do. How bad can it get? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Could get very bad. And then it's a set of assumptions. If 25% of the unvaccinated get sick, that's 1.79 million cases of our unvaccinated. 50%, that's 3.5 million cases. 75%, that's 5.3 million cases. Well, how many cases did we have before? All of last year, we had 990,000 cases. In total, we had 2.1 million cases. So you see that if it spreads aggressively among the unvaccinated, numerically, we would have a problem. What's their worst fear? When I talk to the national experts, it's my New York bluntness. I said, give me the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, a large number of unvaccinated get sick. And even worse than that, the Delta variant mutates to a vaccine-resistant virus. And now, we're right back to where we started. Everybody has to get vaccinated again. And by the way, you have to come up with a vaccine for this new mutation. That's, in my opinion, from talking to them, that's the fear that's really driving them. Fact, denial of COVID failed the United States as a policy and a strategy. That is a fact. What happened last year on the federal side, what happened with President Trump, what happened with the states that were slow to respond, those who lived in a state of denial, it failed. It just failed. We know that from the facts of last year. New York State had the highest infection rate we had at first. The planes, they thought it was in China, the virus went to Europe, the planes from Europe come, they land here. And New York exploded. But we exploded alone, if you remember. And the other states didn't have it. And they just looked at us. And they said, oh, it's you New Yorkers. Must be something about New York. Let's see, something in the water. Maybe it's your lifestyle. Maybe it's your accent. But it's a New York problem. It's not coming here. I sat at this table and others every day saying, what is New York is not unique in this regard. And it is going to go to other states. No, no, no. It's going to be gone by Easter. It's going to be gone next week. It's going to be gone. This is all overblown. This is all politics. Oh, yeah? The other states didn't act? Look what happens. We act aggressively. We get the virus under control. It continues to grow in other states. When you now look back, Florida had more cases, Texas had more cases, California had more cases. Why? Because they did not act quickly. They did not act quickly. New York, at the end of the day, winds up number 26 in terms of cases per 100,000 in this nation. How can that be? You were number one for months. Yes, but we acted and they didn't. That's why, and that's what happened, and that's the lesson. Nursing home deaths, they politicized the whole issue. Oh, the Democratic governors in Democratic states, we should investigate. We're number 31 in nursing home deaths. Number 31. It was all part of the political strategy to deny. Part of the denial strategy was, we don't really have a problem here, is those Democratic governors mismanaged it. That was not true. That was not a fact. It was part of a political denial strategy, and it allowed it to spread in other places. This is my opinion. It's not a fact. Okay, so what do we do now? Everybody has to get vaccinated. Outreach, outreach, outreach. Deploy community groups. Deploy people who have credibility in the community, religious leaders. Educate people who still think that this is made up and it's a problem and nobody really tested this. And incentivize the vaccinations. President Biden, $100 per vaccine, free pass to the movies, whatever incentives you can come up with. Private businesses, I am asking them and suggesting to them, go to vaccine-only admission. Go to vaccine-only admission. We did this, Radio City Music Hall, months ago, reopened, vaccine only, sold out all the shows. Sports arenas, they went up to about 90% vaccine only. Private businesses, bars, restaurants, go to a vaccine only admission. I believe it's in your best business interest. You know, if I go to a bar and I want to have a drink and I want to talk to the person next to me, I want to know that that person is vaccinated. If I go to a restaurant and I'm sitting at a table and the table right next to me, I want to know that they're vaccinated. I believe it's in your business interest to run a vaccine-only establishment. We're the first state in the nation to have something called the Excelsior Pass. Rob Mojica made it a reality. We have passes. They're on apps. They're on phones. It's very simple. You can operate a restaurant and just say, you have to show that you were vaccinated when you walk in the door. It's going to help your business, not hurt it. Call Madison Square Garden. Call Radio City Music Hall. Call the Nets. Call the Islanders. Call the Mets. Call the businesses that have done it. Call the theaters that have done it. If you say to people, well, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't get into these establishments, then you'll see a real incentive to get vaccinated. And again, with our Excelsior Pass, you can do it. You can do it easily. Local governments follow the CDC mask guidance. It is up to the local governments. CDC doesn't mandate local governments do it. They recommend. The state has strongly recommended that local governments do it, but it's up to the local governments. The only way you overcome the local governments is with a state law, which is what we did last time, if you remember. And that cleared up all the confusion, and it basically said it doesn't matter what the local governments decide, the state has control. We're not there. So it's up to the local governments. But local governments, you should adopt that CDC mask guidance. Learn the lesson from last year. Don't deny reality. Better safe than sorry. Well, people will be upset if we do it. People are going to be upset no matter what you do. So show leadership and do it and save lives. Whatever policy they set, they then have to enforce. Let's not make the mistake we made last year, where they set policies, but that they didn't enforce. So we had in New York City, 300 people in front of a bar with no masks and no enforcement. Because when people see you're not enforcing the rules, then they think it's all a mockery. Then you're being arbitrary and capricious, and you don't enforce it anyway, so they're not going to do it. Everybody is talking about a mask policy. mask policy will be important. But I don't believe a mask policy is going to be enough. I think we're going to have to talk about a vaccination policy. What does that mean? Well, we've taken the first step. Federal government's done it, state government has done it, some local governments have done it, which is you either have to get a vaccine or a weekly test. That's the first step, but it's only the first step. That, I believe, we need to expand. Today, the MTA, Port Authority, thank you very much, are adopting that policy starting Labor Day in New York. Port Authority is New York and New Jersey. So that's the first step, vaccine or weekly test. I believe school districts should say today, teachers, vaccine or test if you are in a CDC high-risk area, the red or the yellow zones. I think they should say that today to the teachers in this current situation. For public-facing people who are in a high-risk situation, I say there should be a mandatory vaccine policy. And we put one in place in New York State. It is the first state in the nation to do it. In our hospitals, public-facing employees must be vaccinated. Not vaccinated or test once a week. You must be vaccinated. Oh, that's a very harsh measure, and no other state has done it. Yes. But I disagree with your word harsh, even though it was my word. It's smart. It's smart. If you are a receiving nurse, receiving doctor, people are coming in from the public, and you're dealing with dozens of people, maybe hundreds of people, you should be vaccinated. You should be vaccinated. Or don't work in a frontline position. We put this in place. It is controversial. I believe in it. I understand the controversy. But it is smart. I believe it should be extended. Legally, I can only do it for our own hospitals. I believe this should be extended now to other public hospitals. New York City runs hospitals, H&H. Put in a mandatory vaccine policy. You're a frontline worker in a New York City public hospital, mandatory vaccine. Well, the state did it first, and you can use the precedent of the state. Counties run hospitals. Local governments run hospitals. Government is supposed to lead. Mandatory vaccine for public-facing healthcare workers. And then watch the numbers and adjust as the numbers adjust. But everything should be on the table, and we should start talking about it now, because if these numbers rise and start to rise quickly, it can't be that we're not ready to move. If the numbers don't come down, I think you have to consider mandatory vaccines for nursing home workers. You know the nursing homes are the high-risk population. We learned that in a painful lesson. How did it get into the nursing homes? It came in with an aide. Mandatory vaccination for nursing home workers. If the numbers go up, mandatory vaccination for teachers. If the numbers go up, why? Teacher is in front of a classroom. How many kids does a teacher interact with during the course of a day? 30, 40, 100, 150? That child can get the virus and go home. Why shouldn't the teacher be vaccinated? And if the teacher doesn't want to be vaccinated, fine. But then don't be in front of a classroom if the numbers go up. And then all healthcare workers in all private hospitals who are frontline workers. Why? Because these are the places of intersection. These are the places where one person can infect literally dozens in the course of a day. And I don't believe asking people to take a vaccination is a bad thing. I believe it's a good thing. And 75% of New Yorkers have done it. So it has been accepted as a social policy. And if you want to teach my kids, I think you should be vaccinated. And if you want to take care of my mother in a nursing home, I think you should be vaccinated. That's how it came into the nursing homes in the first place. People in the nursing homes are not giving it to each other until it walks in the door. That's the lesson from last year. Right now, this is all up to local governments. If they don't act, then we'll be where we were last year, where it becomes a statewide emergency and the state is going to have to act. Today, I want to thank Mr. Rick Cotton. I want to thank Mr. Jan Oliber for stepping up and making the right decision, which is also a hard political decision. They're going to go back to their offices today. Their phones are going to ring. They're going to have a lot of people saying, I don't want to take the vaccine. And it's a pain in the neck to get tested every week. And they're going to take that political heat. But it was the right decision, and I thank them for it. By the way, when you get that phone call, don't say the governor made me do it. So thank them for that. We're also facilitating the testing. We're opening more vaccine sites for state workers, and MTA and Port Authority, et cetera. So there will be testing sites available. It won't be a hardship. But in closing, remember the lessons we learned. If you wait to act until it's obvious, it's already too late. A.J. Parkinson. If you wait to act until it's obvious, it's already too late. The political system normally doesn't act until it's obvious, and they have no choice, because the political system doesn't like to make controversial decisions. Right? Politicians want to make people happy. Well, it's 60-40. Well, then I'm going to offend 40% of the people. I don't want to do it. Sometimes the right decision is not necessarily the political decision. Doesn't mean it's not the right decision. Same situation with the New York shootings, which are just continuing and getting worse. And we saw it over the weekend. It is a fact gun violence crime is out of control in New York City. That's a fact. That is not to be debated. It's not a political statement. That is a fact. Ask anyone in New York City, they will tell you. New Yorkers are smart, they get it. And we have to act. And we are in a state of political paralysis when it comes to the police issue. It's political paralysis. And it's getting worse. Again, denial is not a life strategy. Good news, I believe the man who will be the next mayor and should be the next mayor, Eric Adams. I think he gets this. And I think he's frank and he's blunt about it, and I applaud him for it. And New Yorkers get it. I'm a Queens boy. I get it. Last point. I'm with two of my daughters come up the other day. Twins, Cara Mariah. And we're going to watch a movie at night. And I say, you pick the movie, they pick the movie, we're watching the movie. During the course of the movie, I selectively prophesize on what I think is going to happen. He's going to move too close to the window, he's going to get shot. When he gets too close to the window, bing, he gets shot too close to the window. A couple of minutes later, he's going to go in the car, he's going to turn on the car blows up. Goes in the car blows up. After the movie, one of my daughters says to me, you know, Dad, that was really amazing how you figured out what was going to happen in that movie. I let her sit with that for a couple of minutes, and then I had to tell her the truth, which is, I said, no, I saw the movie already. It wasn't brilliant analysis of the plot. I saw the movie. We have seen the COVID movie. We've seen this movie. I've seen this movie. Melissa has seen this movie every day through the briefings. Rick Cotton runs the airports, among other things. One of the first people to get COVID because it was coming through the airports. He's seen the movie. Beth Garvey saw the movie. She had to write all the laws. Jan Oliber saw the movie at the MTA. We had to figure out how to disinfect subway cars because the first piece of bad information was surface transmission. Remember that? So we had to come up with all sorts of chemicals and PPE. And then he had to operate a system with no riders. Rob Mojica dealt with it every day in the financial chaos. New Yorkers saw the movie. You saw the movie. You know how this turns out. You know what happens with Delta variant. You know what those facts mean. You know what's going to happen in the movie. Don't wait for what you know is going to happen. We beat the damn thing by being smart the first time. Be smart again. Well, CDC, well, this. New Yorkers did not make a decision the first time because of the CDC. It's because they got the facts, they're smart, and they made a decision on the facts. You have the facts. I'll give you the facts. But make the smart decision because you saw the movie. By the way, you've also seen the movie on homelessness. You've also seen the movie on crime out of control in New York City. I've seen that movie 3 times in my life. You know how the movie ends. Be smart. Let me turn it to Mr. Cotton and Mr. Lieber for comments. And again, I thank them, and then we'll take questions.
Governor, as you know, throughout the pandemic, Port Authority has taken a multitude of actions to implement health and safety protocols. We've done it at our facilities to protect the health of travelers. We've done it at the agency to protect the health and safety of the employees. Port Authority always has looked to each of the states for public health guidance, and that is what we're doing now with respect to the Delta variant. In accordance with the guidance and decisions announced by Governor Cuomo, announced by New York State, we have made the decision to establish a weekly testing program for all unvaccinated Port Authority employees who report to locations in New York. We are also redoubling our effort to encourage all employees to get vaccinated. We're carefully consulting with the leaders of the Port Authority unions to assist in this effort and to provide advice and suggestions in terms of implementation plans. I want to end by thanking all of the employees at the Port Authority who have dedicated themselves to implementing health and safety protocols up to now, and we will continue to do so in the future as the challenge of the Delta variant continues. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Cotton. Mr. Lieber.
Thanks, Governor. At the MTA, we've got no higher priority than the health and safety of our workforce. The new vaccinate and testing mandate is being introduced to make sure that our employees are as protected as possible against the Delta variant as the city's and the region's recovery picks up speed. To date, nearly 70% of our workforce has already been vaccinated. It's great progress, but we can and have to do better. So over the course of this crisis, the MTA lost 168 brave heroes. Even one would have been too many. And we don't want to see that number go up. As the governor said, the data from the CDC and from other health experts is clear. The available vaccines are safe, effective at minimizing severe risk of illness, especially from the Delta variant. We've seen proof of that at MTA Construction Development, the organization I've been heading in recent years. I'm proud that more than 80% of MTA Construction Development employees have received their shots. We did this by aggressive outreach and by working closely with our labor partners. And the labor unions are continue to be part of our outreach efforts going forward. It's been MTA's mission from the start to make getting vaccinated as easy and convenient and possible. As early as January, thanks in large part to the governor and the state's leadership, we had sites up and running serving employees, and we provided paid travel time for employees to get their shots. As demand slowed over the summer, we adjusted locations and hours to serve the widest number of people, but now we're going to flood the zone with sites across the MTA service area to give employees maximum convenience. And some of those will be mobile vans going to all the different MTA worksite locations. In the meantime, our public vaccination program will continue at some of the major transit hubs, Penn, Grand Central. To date, that has helped more than 30,000 people get their shots, just those two locations. It's quick, it's convenient, and we were giving away free transportation passes as an incentive. It's been working. Listen, transit workers have carried the city and the region on their backs. If we're going to bounce back stronger than ever, we all need to step up and get our vaccinations to protect ourselves, our families, and the public at large. Thank you, Governor, for your leadership on this.
Thank you. Thank you, General. Let's take a couple of questions.
Governor, you sat for an interview a couple weeks ago with investigators from the Attorney General's office. What kind of questions were they asking, and did you feel they had any kind of preordained outcome?
Yeah, they were asking about you a lot. But that'll be a separate conversation in private. The Attorney General picked two people who I referred the matter to the Attorney General to select, quote unquote, independent reviewers. She selected two people to do that. They're in the midst of that. I said I would cooperate with it, and at the appropriate time, I will comment on the review. But this is not the appropriate time yet, Zach.
Governor, will MTA employees not be allowed to work if they do not get a vaccine or get tested? And how might that affect crew availability? And the MTA has a big shortage of transport workers. They can't run full subway schedules. So how are you balancing the crew availability and the mandate here?
Well, number one, we don't want to, the goal is for everybody to get vaccinated, or if for some reason that's not workable, for them to get tested. So we're going to work hard with labor and everybody to make sure that the goal of this program is achieved. As for crew availability, we're already attacking that issue dramatically right now. We've doubled the size of the classes we're doing. We're looking for new sites to do training. We got a whole mess of additional trainers and supervisors back in action to do that. So we have a very aggressive program that's not going to be impacted by this separate issue. The point of today is get everybody vaccinated in their own interest, in their family's interest, in the public's interest, and we're going to do it.
And a quick follow-up. Shano is now acting chairman and CEO, but Sarah Feinberg, the bill never passed to make her chair. Shano can be acting CEO for, I believe, six months and then an additional 3 months. What is your plan to make him permanent chairman and CEO, and is your plan to still split the roles?
What happened was we had an agreement with the legislature at the end of the legislative session. We couldn't get it all done in their time schedule when they were going to leave. The question became, when do they come back to take action? So I expect they will come back at some point because we have other business we have to do also, and we'll sort it out at that time. Let me just make a comment on your first question, Clayton. Both Mr. Lieber and Mr. Cotton are really going to go down in the history books as great leaders of their respective institutions. I tease them about it, but literally they have received all sorts of recognition for their vision and their accomplishment. And I spend half my day doing videos that can be run at award ceremonies for Mr. Lieber and Mr. Cotton. This is not one of the occasions where they are out there on the cutting edge, however, on this policy. Federal government has mandated this. There's been no report of shortage in the federal workforce, which is the largest workforce, on the vaccine or test. We've done it with the entire state workforce. We've done it with the entire New York City has also done it. Other local governments have done it. It's not that there's not a precedent that has been established on this. So I don't think they're going to see any significant loss of employees. No one else has. And all you're saying is get tested once a week if you don't want to get the vaccine. And by the way, the test is on your way to work. Why wouldn't, and also, Cousin, why wouldn't you want to know, right? If you are COVID positive, you want to know before you go home and kiss your wife and kids.
How did Dr. Zucker get out of being here today? He's the state's top health official. Shouldn't he be present for this?
He has a few days of hard-earned vacation. Dr. Zucker, as well as the people around this table, by the way, this has been an unprecedented stretch of day-to-day grind. And how they've been able to do it, I don't know. It's adrenaline meets urgency meets no option. But Dr. Zucker took a couple of days off. He deserves it. Dr. Zucker has two young kids. So he has a family, and the family's in New York City. He's in Albany a lot. He was on the phone, you know, all day yesterday. So even vacation is an illusory concept, because as long as you have that BlackBerry, you know, you are still, you have the umbilical cord wherever you go.
Governor, since you've urged private employers to require vaccinations to enter a restaurant, other private businesses, why do you not check our Excelsior pass when we come in here? Why do you not mandate that only vaccinated people are in this room right now?
Good question. Who's not vaccinated?
Yeah. Who's going to?
Yeah, that's right. Who could not show their Excelsior pass right now?
and as sort of a follow-up to that, your mask policy right now is optional. It's the assumption that people are vaccinated. Aren't we now, with the Delta variant, at a point where there needs to be a more stringent recommendation and urging for masks and checking of vaccine status when you're in an indoor setting? You have that control here.
Yeah, well, I think, Andrew, short answer is yes, right? CDC puts out guidance. Next question is, will the local governments accept that? I have strongly recommended that they do. Why don't you mandate that they do? We would need a state law to do that. So the legislature would have to come back, they'd have to pass a law to do that. So I don't have any legal authority to mandate. Best I can do is say I strongly recommend that they do that. We're in the city of New York. Whatever they put in place, we will follow. This is not a gathering, by the way, that would be of the size that would trigger our large event state guidance. But whatever New York City puts in place, and I hope they put in place the CDC guidance, which would be mean the next time we're here, we're all in masks.
Governor, the State Department of Health already has a mask mandate in through the regulatory process with a $1,000 fine for unvaccinated people. Why not enforce that? You keep saying that it's up to local governments, but the State Department of Health already has this power.
All right, well, let's just be clear, because what you said isn't accurate, right? We don't have a $1,000 fine for an unvaccinated person.
Regulations are issued by the DOH.
No, you don't have to have a vaccine. You don't get fined if you're unvaccinated.
It specifically says that people in public places who are unvaccinated should wear masks, and then further down it mentions a potential $1,000 fine.
Oh, that's the, yes. If, yeah, but you said there's a $1,000 fine if you're unvaccinated. That's not true. If you are unvaccinated and not wearing a mask in a public place where you are required to wear a mask, you can be fined.
That said, the state does have a mechanism to enforce mask wearing among the unvaccinated in public places.
Beth, you want to answer?
Yeah, those social distancing regulations have been in existence since we had the state of emergency in effect. They are technically still remaining in effect until August 8th, at which time they will be replaced by guidance that will only apply to large-scale events. Since the emergency expired on June 25th, we have not been taking any action to enforce those social distancing regulations.
We had authority under the previous law that was passed, extensive authority to make regulations and rules that overrode local governments. And that's why the conversation we would always have with you, some of you more New York-centric people, you would say, well, New York City, I said, yes, but in this situation, it's state law that governs, not Nassau County, not Suffolk County, not Westchester County, not New York City. That law has lapsed. So now the law is as set by the local government, and we are just recommending. If you get to a situation where local governments don't step up, don't do the right thing, you see the numbers rise, then you'd need the state to pass a law. Let's take one more.
The vaccination or the vaccination or be tested rule for the MTA and the Port Authority for Labor Day, that applies to employees. Can you elaborate on what you want the millions of people who those agencies serve to do to protect themselves from COVID?
Well, just to remember the state of play here. And you're right. I said a lot. Number one, strongly recommend local governments accept the CDC guidance. Number two, MTA Port Authority will join the state on the vaccinate or test mandate. Test once a week. Number three, I think we will go beyond that point, and we should anticipate it, and we've already gone that beyond that point. In the first state to mandate vaccines for healthcare workers in our hospitals who are public facing. That is not vaccine or test. That is, you must be vaccinated. Mandatory vaccine policy. First state that has done that. And I'm proud of it. And I think today, New York City hospitals should follow it. County hospitals should follow it. And the public health system should adopt that model so that private hospitals understand, private healthcare facilities understand that that's the direction we may head if the numbers go up. And then I'm also saying if the numbers go up, nursing home staff, I could see saying they have to have a mandatory test because we learned about nursing homes. Teachers, I could see a mandatory test. And teachers today, I think school districts should say vaccine or test for teachers today. School opens in 1 month. If you don't set a policy today, you're going to have chaos when school opens because it'll be impossible for a teacher to get the two shots done. For regular New Yorkers, I gave you the facts. I gave you the facts. Now, what's my opinion on the facts as a New Yorker, not as a governor, as a Queens boy with a Queens accent and proud of it? I'm going to wear a mask. I'm vaccinated. I don't think Delta variant will put me in the hospital. Those are the numbers. But if I'm in a locality that is a high-risk locality and the locality says wear a mask, I'm going to wear a mask because I wore a mask for a year. It's not the biggest deal in the world. And I could get this Delta variant, and I could spread the Delta variant. So better safe than sorry, I'm going to wear a mask.
If the FDA gives final approval, when the FDA gives final approval to any of the vaccines, what sort of mandate might you make? Because you should, if I understand this right, be able to. What kind of mandate will you make for vaccination for New Yorkers broadly?
that would require a law passed by the legislature, and it's going to be what the legislature's appetite is to wade into that situation. That would be a law. I can mandate today for my employees. I'm acting as an employer, and the law says an employer can mandate, and that's how I'm mandating. And that's how I'm saying New York City can mandate, and Nassau can mandate, and Suffolk can mandate as an employer. But if there's the federal approval and you go beyond the emergency use authorization to final approval, a legislature could mandate vaccines, could mandate it for teachers, could mandate it as a condition to go to school. But that is going to be a very politically contentious situation. And it depends on what the legislature would do. Melissa, you had a point?
No, you covered it.
Okay. Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.